Today on Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely.
He has the right to make his living off of the gospel. You don't take an ox who's working and stop him from eating what he's pressing. He says, and we have the right also to take wives with us, like, and he mentions Cephas, Peter. So apparently Peter was still married and was ministering at times, at least, with his wife. So he could not have been a pope, at least not according to the qualifications of a pope. That's why I love reading the Bible. It's important that we let the Word of God challenge what we've always thought. And then we have a choice to make. Respond by faith and believe the Word of God, or just say, I'm not going to receive that. I'm going to...
Deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
As Pastor Troy delivers today's message, we come face to face with the deity of Christ. The scriptures make it clear that no one other than Jesus is the Christ, a revelation which comes only by faith. The natural man cannot discern this message without a measure of faith, which is revealed to Peter as a gift from God. Now make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information with you, as well as how you can receive a free copy of this broadcast. Now here's Pastor Troy, beginning in the book of Colossians, chapter 2, verse 9, with today's study.
Believe in Jesus. Put your faith in Him. That's it. You think, well, that's kind of foolish. That sounds too simple. Have you ever heard that? That's too simple. Well, listen, you know why that's too simple to you and to me, to some? Because you're not looking at it the right way. It's not simple. The wages of sin is death. You must die. And then you still can't get to heaven because you're imperfect. But that's the wages. You're going to pay that wage. We all die. But look at it this way. If I were to, I'm in front of you, I'm in front of someone, and I go and I say, hey, they ordered whatever their order is. Just put it on my card. And then I go by, and then they come up, and they say, oh, we'll take this and this, and I say, oh, your order's covered, it's paid for. No, that's too simple. Too simple. No, I don't want it. I'm going to pay myself. That's the picture. That's the idea. See, it's not simple. Somebody paid a very high price. Jesus paid the price. It's not simple. Salvation's not just free. It's free to you, but it's because it was paid by someone else. Jesus paid the price on the cross, sinless, perfect, never did anything wrong. And yet, He paid the wages of sin for all of those who would believe in Him. That's a foolish message to so many, but I think it's good news. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. They don't understand the things of the Spirit, and they can't. But this is who Jesus is. You must believe in Him for who He is. To come to any other conclusion about Jesus is to fall short of the revelation of Jesus according to the Word of God. There is no other way to heaven. You can never be good enough. He knows that. That's why He died. Not as an alternative, not as an option, but as the only way. It's so important. In fact, this is so important that Jesus goes on to say in verse 18, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. He's kind of being playful here if you don't catch this. Peter has just said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so Jesus is like, you are Peter, and on this rock I'm going to build my church. Now, that doesn't make sense to us either, really. But Peter's name means rock. So he's doing some wordplay. He's like, and you are rock. And on this massive rock, I'm going to build my church. That's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is not saying that I'm going to build my church on you, Peter, which some have confused this text to mean. And that's good news, because Peter was flawed, very flawed. I mean, next week or in a couple of weeks, we're going to see that Jesus calls him Satan. Get behind me, Satan. That's something to call the first pope, right? Behind me, Satan. So he's not building his church on Peter. That's the beauty of reading the entire Bible, is it works things out. It kind of brings clarity. It dismisses some things that you might think might be true. And then you read other scriptures and go, okay, it's not. The Bible's so clear. As you read the book of Acts, you see that James is actually more an authority in the church than Peter is. We also, when you read the book of Acts, realize that Peter has, or actually this is the Gospels, Peter has a mother-in-law, meaning that he has a wife. And in Paul's writings, he would go on to say one time that he has the right to make his living off of the gospel. You don't take an ox who's working and stop him from eating what he's pressing. He says, and we have the right also to take wives with us, like, and he mentions Cephas, Peter. So apparently Peter was still married and was ministering at times, at least, with his wife. So he could not have been a pope, at least not according to the qualifications of a pope. That's why I love reading the Bible. It's important that we let the Word of God challenge what we've always thought. And then we have a choice to make. Respond by faith and believe the Word of God, or just say, I'm not going to receive that. I'm going to stick with what I think. I'm going to stick with what I want. I love the testimony of Adams Road, who was here this past week or so ago now, but that testimony that they had this Mormon doctrine, and that's all they had known growing up. And when someone finally challenged them, look, that's not what the Bible says at all, not even close. Just read it. Just read it. Without all of this other stuff, just read it. And what conclusion will you come up with? I guarantee you, if we would start just reading the Bible, a lot of this nonsense that we keep trying to make sense of would just go away. The Bible's very clear about its intentions, about the direction, about who Christ is. It's not complicated, but we make it very complicated with the way we live our lives and what we bring into our lives. So if it's not upon Peter that the church is going to be built, what is he talking about then? What is the massive rock? Well, what's the other thing that's here? It's not Peter, it's the profession that Peter makes. That's what Jesus is going to build his church on, that he is the Messiah, or the Christ, the Son of the living God. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. And so we think, okay, I'll believe. But James, enter James. James is no mincer of words. And James says, well, you say you believe, but if there's no change in your life, if there's no action that accompanies what you say you believe, then you don't believe. Can such a faith save you? Can you really be saved? And his answer is no. You can't. Because that's not the believing we're talking about. What kind of believing is there? This word believe is one of those words that is very pregnant with meaning. You know what pregnant is, right? Got a lot of stuff inside. So it's pregnant with meaning. This word is full term. Because you believe, you have to believe in his nature. His death, his burial, his resurrection, his lordship, everything he said of himself. You must believe in him to believe. And that will change your life because he becomes Lord. A.W. Tozer said, to believe in the Lord savingly means to believe the right things about the Lord. There is no escaping this. And this is where false religion and cults go wrong. In fact, this is where many religious people go wrong. They say, I just want to believe my way. I just want to do my thing. This is what I think. And what you think, what I think, does not matter. Cults and false religion goes wrong because they change who the person of Jesus is. They give you good works. They may do great things in the community, but it's not about that. It's about who is Jesus. Who is your Jesus? I mean, the Mormon Jesus was a man like you and I. In fact, the Mormon God was once a man like you and I who lived out Mormon doctrine and excelled and got to become the God of his own planet one day, which was obviously Jesus' goal, who's going to have multiple wives and populate his planet and should be the goal of every Mormon. That's not the right Jesus. So who he is very important. And this confession is what he promises to build his church on. That's the foundation. So I just want to say that God does not build upon the foundation of visions, ministries. You want to emphasize a certain ministry, missions and all that, or even pastors and their personalities. God does not build on those things. Those things may come from the foundation, but they will never be the foundation that he builds on, at least not one strong enough that the gates of hell won't be able to prevail against it. And look at what Peter receives as a result of his faith in the Son of God. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. Why not? Because if they began to spread this message too soon, right now, it would start all kinds of problems. It says, right now, I'm training you. So let's not start spreading that. You'll be able to spread that. Trust me, there's a time where I'm going to say, okay, go say it. Right now is not the time. They're in training. In the ancient world, to receive keys was a sign of authority and trust. Someone trusted you. I mean, even today, if they give you keys to their house, if they give you keys to the property or the building, it's a sign of trust, right? I trust you. I'm empowering you. I'm giving you some responsibility. Well, that's the same sign that Jesus is speaking about here. There's a locked door. The person who has keys isn't worried about the locked door. They open it up, right? I'm not worried about the locked door. So did Peter have that kind of authority when it came to the things of God? Well, it looks like it when we read the book of Acts and the church begins to grow, because Peter was the one who preached in Acts chapter 2 and 3,000 were saved and the gospel went everywhere. Then, after the death of Stephen, at his persecution and his death, because of persecution in Jerusalem now, the gospel began to spread. The people began to spread out. And ministry happened in Samaria. All right, now this has gone beyond the Jews. Now we're in the Samaria, the Samaritans. And who is it that goes and gives his approval to it all, that assures that this really is the work of God? Peter. Take my keys out. All right. Yes, this is the work of God. It goes to the Samaritans. And then in Acts chapter 10, who received a vision that the gospel would go through the door of the Gentiles as well? Peter. Peter receives this vision. Hey, kill and eat. He says, no, I'm a Jew. I don't eat that kind of stuff. And God says, don't call anything unclean that I said is clean. And so Peter goes because there's some from Cornelius' house who come and they get Peter. They're told by a vision to come and get him. And so they go and Peter goes and Peter sees the exact same outpouring that he saw at Pentecost. Now he knew Pentecost was the Lord, right? This is the anointing. This is the anointing of God. God's saying this is his. There's that outpouring. And he says, I saw the same exact thing. That was the significance of the tongues at that event. Was Peter could say, you know what? This gospel is not just for Israel. This gospel is for, let's open this door wide open, kick it open. And it's going to the Gentiles as well. And he even had to defend it. He had to explain to his Jewish friends. They said, hey, you've been hanging out with Gentiles. We heard. And he said, look, I saw the exact same signs. Now, if God is anointing that, who are we to say any different? And they saw that it was God who was involved in that. And all doors were wide open. The context here is in having the keys, binding and loosing, is in advancing the kingdom of heaven, building his church. That's the context. And the gates of hell will not prevail. Notice it says the gates of hell will not prevail. This is more than just a door, lock and key. A city gate was where the most powerful and most influential of the city hung out. So when you would talk to someone about a city gate or a gate of some city, gates of hell, they would not think of just a door or gate. They would think of the whole little office area where the high ranking and those who were influencers and the powerful in the city would hang out and where news would be passed and judgments would be made. And so when we see that the gates of hell will not prevail, he's saying the most powerful influences, the most demonic of beings, the most powerful and influential in hell will not be able to stand or do anything against what? Against that which is built upon the foundation of this confession. He's not saying that you can go out as a kingdom kid and bind and loose every little thing that you want to do because that's what you want. I bind you, I loose you, I bind you, I got that. He's not saying that at all. That's not the context. If it were, then I wish some of those who are binding Satan would bind him better. Because he gets out very quickly. You know, bind him for long term. Like forever. We bind you forever, Satan. Don't just bind him for the moment. It's not working. And some of the things that we loose, I loose you from that cancer, and yet they die from cancer. That's not exactly what he's talking about. The Lord is the healer. He's talking that the kingdom is going to be built. Whatever you open, it's open. Here's the way that we could look at it. If you take the gospel out into this world, you can proclaim with confidence as if you have the keys of the kingdom of heaven yourself. You can say, if you accept this gospel, if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this Jesus of the Bible, then you will be loosed. You are free. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. But if you reject it, you're bound. That's the authority we have. That's the authority that Jesus gives, and that's the authority the Bible gives. Jesus said, on this rock, I will build my church. In fact, let me give you a different emphasis. He said, on this rock, I will build my church. And that comforts me, because that helps me to stay away from all of the church growth seminars and strategies and planning events, because I'm telling you, churches know today how to cater to the culture. They're going to these seminars and planning events and online conferences and all of this stuff to find out how to bring the people in. How do we keep the people? How do we do our worship? And how do we do this? And what do they want? What do they need? What will bring in the masses? And I get opportunities to respond to those or attend those all the time. They're so popular. But the goal is not to cater to the culture. We cannot do that. The church that is to be built on this profession as the foundation. If it was up to me to build the church, it'd just be way too much for me. I'm not that kind of a person. I told someone, I'm not a Hitler type, you know, where that I can convince masses to follow me. I don't have that personality. If the Word of God doesn't do it, if God doesn't do it, I'm helpless. And I'm trusting Him to do it. The critical question for some here might be, who is Jesus to you? Let's go back and make that personal. It's upon this confession that Jesus is building His church, and it's upon this confession salvation happens, believing in Him. Jesus is the Messiah. He is the one who was promised who would come. He came to establish His lordship and to build His kingdom. The question is, are you part of that kingdom? Is He your Lord? Will you put your faith in Him? It's a question He asks you. And you got to answer it. And listen, if you just decide to, I don't want to deal with it, you've already dealt with it. You have said outright, no, I don't want you. I don't want you, Jesus. Don't invade. Don't come into my life. I want to have nothing to do with you. I want to be my own God. I want to have my own way. And I would ask if anyone is here thinking that way, how's that working for you? You're probably not very liked. Maybe you have a hard time making friends. Maybe you're just weird and no one wants to be around you. But you know what? God takes us where we are. It's not bad. It's not a bad thing. We were all that way. I mean, you should read the list of what Paul says. You were this and this and this and this and this. And he goes on and on. He says, and such were some of you. So, hey, we're all that. But Jesus will fix you. Let me not put it that way. That sounds Like, we were broken. We are. But let's just say that he will take and he will put into your life that which is good, that which is right, that which is true. You can hang your hat on it. You can live your life by it. And you never have to let go of it because it won't change like everything else in the culture does. Ask anyone who's gotten old. If they will just keep their style from when they were younger, they'll be trending again when they're about 70. You know, but all along the process, there's changes. They're called, geeky, out of date, and out of this. Hey, I'm just hanging on, baby, because it's coming back, right? That's what I see, some of those with the big collars and the big jeans. They're holding on. They're hanging on for their day. It's coming. But everything changes around us, but the Word of God does not. The Scripture says this. You don't come to church just to socialize, just to gain inroads. Hopefully I'll get some business. Wink, wink. Coming to church. You don't come to church to experience the benefits of loving people and, oh, giving people too. Hey, if you're a person that likes to receive from people, plant yourself in a church because then there's some givers there. If that would describe you, the Bible would describe you as a thief and a robber. You're taking what's not yours. You're stealing from God by taking His and not wanting Him. John 10:1 says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs in some other way, the same as a thief and a robber." And later he says, "I am the door." So unless you come in and enjoy the benefits of being a kingdom kid, unless you enjoy those benefits by coming through the door, you're just stealing, you're just mooching, you're just getting stuff for yourself, but you're a thief and you're a robber. You're taking what is not yours. That's why we encourage everyone who comes, and they know where to go. They go to churches to try to get money. I'm sure they go to other places, government agencies and stuff to get help, but there are some who are just in the habit of going to churches trying to get money, usually cash. I've heard so many stories. I'm sure there's some new ones out there, but I have heard some stories. And they want money. What I tell them is, you need to belong to a body of Christ. Because the body of Christ, man, that's the best benefits package that there is. You're in the kingdom of people who love you, who will care for you, who will reach out for you. Now, if you distance yourself, I mean, that's just what happens. You distance yourself. But if you plug in and if you get involved in a body, you never have to go without. David said, "I've seen God's people young and old, and I've never seen them without." Maybe they haven't had everything. But they have each other, and they have help, and they have food, and God provides. So get plugged into a body of believers. And that's what I encourage everyone who goes around. They don't need money. The money that they get, it keeps them from coming to Christ, from being fully dependent upon Him. They keep getting by because people keep giving them just money and no Lord, no Christ, no kingdom, no door being opened. You have the keys to help them open that door and come into the kingdom of heaven. And so that's kind of our policy here, that we want to talk to you. We want you to get plugged into a church. Where are you at today with the Lord? If you have not decided to follow Him and to believe in Him, then today He invites you to make that decision. He goes through every generation calling out to those who will believe in Him. And if today you want to make that decision, or maybe today you want to begin to get serious about following Him, He's ready. He's ready to get you and get your life in order and built on a solid foundation.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. You've been listening to Building on the Solid Rock, the teaching ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel, Solid Rock, in San Antonio, Texas. To learn more about our ministry, please visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you can download today's message or subscribe to our podcast, which is always available in the iTunes store when you search for Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. If you'd like to contact us, our email address is info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. When you contact us, please let us know how today's broadcast has blessed you. Your feedback helps us know the Lord's direction for this ministry. Until next time, we'd like to say thank you for joining us, and please make plans to join us again, same time, same place, as we continue to study through God's Word. That's next time on Building on the Solid Rock.
And I wonder why. I wonder why. And I look up and see the hand that I turned from when the storm began, and it covers me.